So I, my plan is to, if anybody has any questions, if you want me to go over any of these problems in a on the sample final, let me know. Wow. Okay. And otherwise, I'll just go over them, I guess. Maybe the ones that I think are harder, or I don't know. Any suggestions? Yeah. Phone with what?
We find the missing number.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That was one that I wanted to do. And what is the other request?
Oh, we're gonna post the answers.
I will post the answers by the end of this week. Yeah. 8, 7, and 8. Okay. So I have 3 requests right now. I guess I'll start with the barcodes.
Okay. So I also wrote down for each problem the lecture where you can find stuff about it, where you can read more about it. And so for the barcodes is Wow. 13. So this is lecture 1, pages 33 through 42, if you want to write that down, if you have it. And so, the first one is, okay, you can interrupt me at any point if you don't understand or, yeah. This is 13, which is called barcodes. So the first one is, so for each of these problems, you need to find the missing digit. And so first one is 02454313X0, and your check digit is 5. Okay, so I'm gonna circle that so that that doesn't get involved in our. There's a bunch of calculations we need to do, and I'm gonna isolate it for a little bit because it's not getting involved in the initial calculations. Okay, so the odd digits, I underlined, so I add up the odds, and that gives me 4 plus 4, 1 plus 3 plus 0, which I'm not gonna write, and that gives me 8, 9, 12. Evens, 2 plus 5 plus 3 plus 4 plus x, and that gives me 10, 14 plus x. Okay? Next thing I do is I multiply the odds by 3 and I add the evens, and that gives me 26 plus x. No, 30. All right, 36 plus 14 plus x. Yeah, how is it? All right, and so that gives me 50 plus x. Okay, everybody follow? Sounds pretty bad. So that's my 3 times odds plus evens, okay? And so what the theory says is that the check digit, the way I get the check digit usually is I have this amount, and then I find how much do I need to add to get a multiple of 10. And so basically 50 plus x plus the check digit will give me some kind of multiple of 10, 60 probably, or 70 could be, well, in this case it's 60, okay? And so the check digit is 5, so I have 50 plus x plus 5 is a multiple of 10, and because x is a digit, that multiple of 10 is going to be 60, okay? And so that gives me 55 plus x is equal to 60, which gives me x equal 5. So I said that if I do 3 times the odds plus the evens plus the check digit, give me a multiple of 10. And so 3 times the odds plus the evens is 50 plus x. And then I add the check digit, and that needs to give me a multiple of 10. Right? And so I wrote it here, 50 plus x plus 5 is equal to 60. Let's try 70, maybe it's 70. So 55 plus x equals 70, which will give me x equals 15, which is impossible because x is between 0 and 9. So the only multiple digit that's possible is 60. You can try 60 or 70, that's probably going to be. So this is not, okay? Any questions? Okay, I'm going to move on to the next one. The next one is 7940x129-3824. So I'm going to isolate the check digit again. And I underline the odd numbers, the odd digits. Sum of the odd digits gives me 7 plus 4 is 11, plus x. 2 plus 3 is 5, plus 2. And that gives me 18 plus x. Evens are 9 plus 0, plus 1, plus another 9, plus an 8, which gives me 27. Okay, and now 3 times the odds plus the evens plus the check digit, give me a multiple of 10. So that means 3 times the odds is 54 plus 3x. So multiply this by 3. So 18 times 3 plus 3x. So 54 plus 3x plus 27 plus 4 is going to be a multiple of 10. And so, that means that 54 plus 31, 85, plus 3x, right? So 54, did I get this right? 31 plus 54, 85. Okay, so 85 plus 3x is a multiple of 10. Okay, so let's take the multiples of 10. It could be, so it's definitely going to be above 85. So it could be 90. Let's try 90. What if this is 90? Let's assume that it's 90. What do we get? We get that 3x equals 5. The 4 I just said in the check digit. Because that's kind of the theory. Like, this is basically the theory. That's the main idea. Okay. So if this is this possible?
What can I
see? No. Because x is an integer. X is 0 through 9. And so this can't be the case. Whatever. Let's try 100. So then we get 85 plus 3x equals 100. 3x equals 15. What is x in this case? 5. And that's our answer.
If our notation's like a little bit different, but we get the right answer.
Sorry?
If our notation's like a little bit different than yours, but we still get the same answer.
Yeah, no problem. You can have any notation you want, as long as it's not like curse words.
Oh, yeah.
It's fine, whatever. I mean, you can say, oh, you can, whatever. It doesn't matter. But, you know, it should be pretty clear that this is what you mean. Like, it's not, you know, trees equals da-da, and flowers equals, you know? Okay. So that's this one. I think this one is the hardest one. Because you get, first of all, you get 3x here. It's not clear what the multiple of 10 is. Usually the multiple of 10 is the next, it's very obvious that it's the next multiple of 10, but here because you have 3x, if x is between 0 to 9, what is 3x between? 0 through 27, right? And so this is a little bit of a wider range. Like, you might have to try two or three multiples of that. Probably two, not one. Okay? Just because of this. But x is always going to be an integer between 0 and 9. Any questions? No? Okay. We're going to be experts in barcodes. And C is actually the easiest, I think.
Wait, can you go back for a second?
Sure.
Did you use the check to do that out?
I did. I use it for in here. So this is like the main. Yeah. You need to use it because otherwise it doesn't matter. Okay. So the third one, I think, is just computing the check digit.
Anybody else? I don't know if I have enough. But...
check every pair of numbers in the list. And so if you're given a list, you look at the first number, and let's say it's a 20. Let's take this example. You know that you need 980 to find 980 in the list. And so you're saying, okay, I need to find 980 in this list. I need to go through the whole list to find 980. Finding a number in an unsorted list is big O of n. And so for the first element, I need n operations. For the second element, let's say this is 2, I need to find 998. And so I need to go through the rest of the list to find the pair for 2. And so that's going to be n minus 1. And so on. So for each, basically for each element in the list, you can think of, you need to look for its pair in an unsorted list. So you need to go through the whole list for each number. And so for each number, you have n operations. For each number, you have n operations. So n search, touch n elements of the list to find if the pair is in the list. And then, how many numbers do you have? You have n numbers. And so for each number, n times n operations gives you n squared, which is big O of n squared. Okay? You can also think of it as how many pairs have in how many pairs of numbers can you make with n numbers, and that's n squared pairs. So you have the first number with the second number, the first number with the third number, the first number with the fourth number, and so on. The second number with the third number, the second one number with the fourth number, and so on. And so you get n squared. Big O of n squared. Okay. Yeah.
Plus n minus 1 plus n minus 2.
Yeah, that's the exact answer to this problem.
Okay.
But because of the big O notation, you can
would say all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Because 1 plus 2 plus 3 is...
Yeah, big O.
Okay. Then C, how many times does 74 appear in the list? How would you solve that problem? What's your method? Yeah.
Just put the ones.
Yeah, exactly. And just count how many 74s are. So, you know, you have your list. You're trying to find 74 in it. You just have to go through the list systematically and find your how many 74s there are. So that's how much. What's the big O of N? Okay? And D asks, is the product of the numbers divisible by 7? How would you do this one? Yeah, why is that?
Because you just go through the list once and multiply everything.
Exactly.
And then you do that divided by 7.
Exactly. And so if you want to find out the product is divisible by 7, you have to multiply everybody and see if that whole number is divisible by 7. And so it's big O of N because you have to go through the whole list and basically touch each number once. And so you touch N numbers. It's actually... If we were very precise, it would be n plus 1, because you have n operations to, you know, n times, you know, you multiply n times. You multiply the first number with the second number, that's 1. You multiply this whatever product you have with the third number, that's 2, and so on. And then 1, 2, divided by 7, and see if it's actually giving you. But n plus 1 is big O of n, and big O of n is a good enough answer. You know, thinking of it as, you just have to go through the whole list once is a very helpful and good enough answer. Yeah.
Where would you use the big O log n?
Good question. I think we're going to get there for number 8. Okay, so any questions about this one? Yeah.
Well, the product wouldn't you just have to go until you found the number that is divisible by 7? For some,
sure.
You would have to add it all up and then divide.
Right.
I mean, it's still big O of n.
You know, we think in worst case
right.
terms, and so. You know, imagine you have the worst list ever.
Right, and so. It'd still be big O of n. I'm just saying, for the product, you don't necessarily
have to go through. Right, right. Unless, yeah. Okay. I'm going to move on to 8. If there's no questions, if there are, you know, feel free. but this time your list is sorted. And so your first question is, what's the second biggest number in a list? How do you determine? Now, for a sorted list, it's very helpful to me, imagine a phone book, because a phone book is just a huge sorted list, okay? And so imagine you have a phone book. How do you find the second to last person in the phone book? If I ask you, what is the second to last person in the phone book, how would you answer? How would you find out the answer?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
By looking at the actual phone book.
How many times, like, how many numbers do you need to touch? How many names do you need to read? One name, basically, right? So, big O one is a constant. So you have a constant, you know, if I ask you what is the, you know, fifth number from the end, or the fifth number in the list, or the 20th number in the list, that's all constant. Because you have, you know exactly the spot where you're looking, and you're looking there. So you don't have to go, it's not dependent on how big the phone book is. If you have, you know, the phone book of New York City versus the phone book of a very, very small town, you're still gonna look at one name. So that's a constant amount of elements in the list you have to look at to figure out what's the second biggest number in the list. For B, this is a little trickier. Are there two numbers that add up to 1,000? So now you have a sorted list of numbers. Okay? And so you go to the first number. There's two ways of doing this, and they're both good answers. One is a better answer, but they're both good answers. I'm going to start with the worst answer. You go to the first number, and then you know that you need to find 980 in this list. But this is a sorted list. And so looking for a number in a sorted list is log n. Because if you had a phone book, you wouldn't go through, you know, if you want to look for somebody, you don't go through the whole phone book. You open it in half, or approximately in half. You're looking at the half of the list, and you're saying, is this person before or after the person in the middle? And so you throw away half of the list, you know, whatever. You don't have to look at that half ever again, and you don't have to go through that half at all. So you basically throw away half of the list, and you're going to work with just half of the list. And so you do the same thing. You have it, you look, you know, is this person before or after the middle? You throw away again half of the list, and so that gives you a log. So, you know, you can write that down, because I think that's the only log n that you're going to get in lists. It's looking for a number in a sorted list is log of n. And so here's the case. This is the case here, too. You see 20. You know you have to find 980. And so you find 980 in a sorted list. And that gives you log of n. So for finding the pair for 20 is log n. Finding the pair for 30 is going to be log n again. And so on. So you have log n operations for the first number, log n operations for the second number. How many times, so you have log n plus log n plus log n plus dot 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 log n. How many times do I add up log n? Well, this is for the first element, this is for the second element, this is for the third element, this is for the nth element. N times. So that's n times log n. For each element in the list, I need log n operations to find its pair. Okay? So that is how much it would take me for B. There is a better way of doing this, a faster way. And that is the following way. I keep track of the first and the last elements at the same time. So, see, I have 20 here, and I have 87, 105, 130. Okay? I know that I need, so I know I need 900. Sorry, this was supposed to be, I'm gonna add it. Something like that. Okay? So, I'm gonna go to, I know that I need a 980 for 20. And so I look at the last one. What is the last one? It's 1,300. It's too big. I'm just going to move this arrow. I'm going to look at the second to last. This is still too big. I'm going to look at the third to last. This is still too big. This is wrong. Okay? And then I'm going to look at 980. And actually 980 and 20 are sum up to 1,000. Then when I go to the next one, let's say it's 50, I don't have to look at all these numbers again because they're all going to be too big for 50. Because I've already paired up, I already matched the numbers that were not good enough for 20. I already like threw them away basically. And so because I move this way to the right and to the left at the same time, each number gets touched once. And so that's going to be a big old thing. So in this case, I'm going to go, this is going to be 970. Let's say this is going to be 950. I go here, then I get 100. And so I don't have to look at all these numbers again. I can just move on from where I left off and move to the left this way and to the right that way. And so each number gets looked at one time. Okay? And that's big O of N. Either answer will get you all the points. Because this is not as, I think this is more, we've done more examples like this in class than this one. Yeah? It would be good to explain because I won't, for a correct answer, I won't take off points for no explanation. But if the answer is wrong, having some explanation will give you some points. Having no explanation, there's no way of giving. So I recommend that you write, explain what you got, and then, you know, after you come back, if you don't like your grade or something, we can talk about it, and I'll have something to add points to. Whereas if I don't, you know, if it's just the wrong number, yeah.
So this one could be n times log n or O?
Maybe? Yeah. So big O of, this is big O of n log n. And big O of n log n is bigger then big O of n, so having n log n operations is more operations than big O of n, and so big O of n is faster than big O of n log n. And so this is faster. Than that one. But that one was okay too.
You couldn't say just big O of log n?
Big O of log n wouldn't work because there's no method that is that fast. Okay? Last question was, oh, that's two. How many times does 74 appear in the list? How would you, what would that be?
Big O log in.
Yeah, big O log in. Why is that?
Because you can determine if it's like, say you have like a phone book, if it's
right.
In which half of the phone book, and then just keep subdividing it until you find out where it is.
Right. And so you're looking for a number in a sorted list, that's big O of log n. And then, you know, once you found it, you can just go to the left and to the right and just count how many there are. But they're all going to be grouped together. All right. And then is the product of the numbers divisible by 7?
Big O of n.
Big O of n. Because you still need to add all the numbers. Any questions? No? Maybe there's, yeah. I'm sorry? Yeah. Number 9. Okay. Okay. Good question. So this one, lecture 15, and pages 23 through 55. If you want to take a look at, that was a lecture where we did a lot of algorithms on lists and stuff like that.
What lecture was 7 and 8?
Sorry?
What lecture was 7 and 8?
Lecture 15, slide, pages 23 through 55. If you have a PDF, Acrobat, it's you can see the page number. Okay, so number 9 is a little different because this time you're given the list. And so I think it's a little easier. So the first question is the product of these numbers divisible by 5? And so you just have to answer yes or no. And if you just guess, you know, you have a pretty good chance of getting the right answer. But let's not guess. So what is, how would you decide if the product of these numbers is divisible by 5? Yeah.
If one of the numbers within it is like just one of the individual numbers that are divisible by 5, then the whole product would be divisible
exactly.
by
5. So you just need to find one number. You don't have to multiply. If you want to multiply all the numbers and make your calculator explode.
I know that you had offered like other algorithms for say if it was divisible by like, a different number. Mm-hmm. On the final exam, are we going to have to know those algorithms or can we stick with the divisible by 5 answer?
I think the plan is to just give a 5.
Okay.
But a different list. So I think I'm just going to change the list for this one.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so the way you do this is just go over the list and try to find one number that ends in a 0 or a 5, and that will make the whole product divisible by 5. If the sum, they ask if the sum is divisible by 5, you just have to add them up. But I might not change. Okay, and then the median, is the median of these 51 numbers bigger than 500? How do we do that? So we can,
Well, you would make a list of numbers that would be smaller or bigger than 500, and if there's more numbers that are bigger than 500, then the median would be bigger.
Exactly. And so the idea is that the median of a list is the number in the middle in the sorted list. And so we can just count how many numbers are, let's say, smaller than 500. I don't know if anybody has counted them. I actually did. I think, so you guys don't have to go through that. There's 24 numbers that are smaller than 500. So there's 24 numbers that are smaller. This is 24 numbers. And then there's 27. So 500 is somewhere. I don't think 500 is in the list, but if it were, it would be here. And so what does that say about the median? Well, the median is here somewhere, right? Because we have 24 numbers that are smaller than 500. Smaller than 500. 27 numbers that are larger than 500. And so the median is definitely here. And so that means that the median is bigger than 500. This is a sorted list. And so the answer is yes to number, to point B, too. Okay? So you don't have to sort the list or anything like that. Yeah? For number point A in 9, you have to find one number that's divisible by 5 because it's product, and that means it ends in a 0 or a 5. And so give me an example. Nine fifteen is a good example. Yeah, absolutely. Okay? Yeah. Yeah.
VAT,
yeah. Okay. All right, let's do that one. So this one I wrote for this one, lecture 13, so for number 2, lecture 13, slide 43, which is page 65. So this one says, imagine you have the letters, all the letters of the word valuable in a hat, and you just pick random letters from that word. How many times on average do we pick before we get the letter B? So that is what's the probability of, if you have all the letters in the word in a box, what's the probability of drawing B?
Okay.
So the probability, let's say number A, the probability for B equals 1 or 8. And then how many times on average you have to pick before you get B? We just flip that, right? So number of times, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to write it the way, you know, the scientific 1 over 1 over 8, which is equal to 8 times. And I'll write on average. Okay. Okay? Everybody cool with that? The second question is, how many times on average do we pick before getting one of the letters in the word vet? So that, the probability, is actually the probability of getting V plus the probability of getting A plus the probability of getting T. Because you want to get either V or A or T. And so what's the probability of getting V if you just draw random letters? 1 over 8. What's the probability of getting A? 2 over 8. What's the probability of getting T? 0. So you have 3 over 8. So the number of times is A over 3, which is about 2.67 on average. You can leave it A over 3. It's fine. Just, I would be happy to see on average here, because 2.67 times doesn't make too much sense just by itself. Okay? Alright. And then the probability of getting a vowel. So we need, it's actually the probability of what are the vowels? A, probability of E, probability of I. I'm not going to write them all down. Alright? So, you know, I don't care what the vowel is, I just want a vowel. Probability of A is 2 over 8. Probability of E is 1 over 8. And then we don't have any I's, we don't have any O's. We have a U. So that's 4 out of 8. Right? Okay, and that's 1 over 2. So the number of times, what is that?
Two.
Times average. Okay? Okay, let's do another click A. Everybody click A, please. I'm sorry?
You said the other day we're not going to be
clicking. Yeah, but I've just decided that, you know, since I want to, you didn't bring your clicker?
I purposely left it up.
Okay, it's okay. I'll write you on a piece of paper. No problem. No problem. Anybody who doesn't have a clicker, just come back after class and I'll write you down. Okay, I'm going to stop it. Okay. Everybody done clicking? So what's the next request? Yeah.
Can we do 11 and 12?
11 and 12. Sure. On the tree. And then just write your zeros and ones, and it's just asking you to fill the tree.
Do you like draw our own tree, or just use this one to come up?
Use that tree. Yeah, use that tree and just write your zero on the left branch and one on the right branch.
Just for the letters of please?
No, for everything. So you have this tree. Okay, maybe I'll do it.
more or less what the tree looks like. And so if you have this tree, you just start at the root, well, you just write 0 on the left branches and 1 on the right branches. 0, 1, 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1, 1, and 1. So I just put 0s on the left branches, right, 1 on the right branches. Fill in and use the tree on the next page to find a Huffman encoding for the word please. All right, so now we know all the codes for all the letters. So, please. What's the code for P?
1011.
Okay, what's the code for L?
1010.
What's the code for E?
11.
That's it. Okay, great. E. A is 010. S is 00. And E is 11. Okay. And I just underlined them so that you would see. You know, this is just the sequence of bits, but it's easier to see which code is for which letter. You can just write the bits on the exam.
Yeah. So on the exam, you just want us to write like the string.
Yeah.
Like that?
Yep. Okay. Just a string of bits. Okay. And then what is 100? Right. 0 4 0s. 100. This is not as hard as it looks. So this one, you just, the way I do this one is I just start at the root. I know that the first, I don't know how long the code is for a letter, but I know that the first letter definitely starts with a 1. And so I'm just going to follow the directions that this code is giving me. So what is this code saying? This code is saying right, left, 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 right, left, left, right, 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 left, right, left. And so when I hit a leaf, when I hit the bottom of the tree, I'm just going to start over at the root. And I'm just going to follow the directions. And here's how I do it. Start at the root, 1, and I have 4 zeros. 0, 0, 0, 0. And I hit a leaf. So I have a C. This is C. And so I know that the next letter starts here. Okay? Because I hit the bottom of the tree. So I start at the root again, and I go, it says, okay, 1, 0, 0, and then a 1, and another 1. And I hit another leaf. And I finished here. And this is all U. Okay? And so I continue, I start over at the root again, and I go, 1, 0, 1, 0, T. Okay? So just start at the root in the beginning. Go as the directions tell you to go. Stop when you hit a leaf. Write down the letter for that leaf. And then continue where you left off, at starting at the root again. Any questions? No? Okay. All right. 11 and 12? Sure. Okay, 12 is lecture 4, slides, pages 35 and 36. Draw the table. false. And so we're going to use the rules for that. And the rules say, select all your rows where B is true. And so the rows that we're going to select are this row, this row, and this row. Those are three rows that we're interested in. And so we write, it's going to be a huge OR, but what we're going to OR are going to be small ANDs. And so for each of these truths, we write an AND statement involving A, B, and C. So for this one, A is false, we write not A. And B is true, write B. And not C. And what this means is that when not A is true, and B is true, and not C is true, B is true. So not A is true, which means that A is false. B is true, and not C is true, which means that C is false. So that's our statement for this true. I'm going to OR it for the next one. Next one is going to be not A and B and C. The third one is A and B and C. And B equals that. Okay? And this is just following on the pages that I told you about. There's, you know, step by step what I just did. Any questions? Make sure you write D equals in front. And you don't write stuff like D equals, what I've seen in the past, D equals this, and D equals that, D equals this. No, just write D equals this or this or this. And what other mistakes? Yeah, those are the main ones. Okay? Yeah. There is a different way to do it. You can do it the same way if you want. Let's switch the truths and the falses. And all right, so let's say that this is true, this is true, this is false. True, 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 false. So one way of doing it, and this is fine, you're going to get the most... all the points, is to just write not A and B and not B and not C or not A and da 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 da. Like just write, make a statement for each true. It's going to be huge, but it's okay. Another way is to make a select every false statement and make an AND out of it. So we're going to see it's the same not A and B and not C. I should have erased it. Or A and B and C. Okay? So if you have fewer falses than trues, you're going to write it, you're going to select the falses, and if you have more, less trues than falses, you're going to select the trues. Whatever gives you less work. And so in this case, we have B is false for these. And so basically not D equals this thing. And so D is going to be not this whole thing. So not A and B and C and not C or maybe I should. So basically, there's just this extra step where B is not whatever you got for, just because you selected the statement where D is false, and so that means this whole thing is not D. So not D equals this, and so if you want to get D, you have to not this whole statement.
So how can you make them different than when you're doing it with mostly classes? Before you make the classes of, you're making the classes the same way, but D is something different.
Right, because the table, this looks different. So this was D, were false. It was false, false, true, true. So it's a different function.
Right.
So that's one part of the reason why it's different.
But are you making the classes to equal D? I don't think that's right. Not D. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yep. And so, you know, this is going to be, it's going to have the same truth value as just making it for the truth, like writing not A, not B, and not C, or not A, not B, and C, or da, da, da. Yeah.
Should we simplify the top?
You don't need to simplify. You can simplify if you want. Okay? Any other questions on this one? Any other requests? 19? Okay, 19 and 20 and 15. Yeah, I wanted to do 15. Okay. 19.
Okay, 19 is hopefully going to be fast than famous. So, this question is about, say you had a huge wall, and there's a lot of bugs on the wall. There's actually 23,700 species of bugs on the wall. And so I'm thinking of one of them, I choose my favorite one, and you have to ask yes, no questions, and I'll answer them, and I'll be honest, and you guys have to figure out what the yes, no questions are to have the least amount of questions. And so what you wanna ask is a question each time that splits the set of bugs in half. And so when you ask the questions in a smart way, the first time you ask a question and I give the answer, you're gonna be left with exactly half of the bugs to guess. And so the first time you ask a question, divided by 2, 1, 1, 8, 50. That's how many bugs you're gonna have after one question. No matter what the bugs are, no matter what the question is. After one question. Okay. Then you're left with this amount of bugs. You can ask another question that will split the bugs exactly in half. Well, sometimes it's not possible because if this is an odd number, that's not possible. But anyway, as close as you can. And so after the second question, you are left with 9, 2, 5 after two questions. And so you keep asking questions like this, and every time you ask a question, that's going to split 23,000, your number in half, whatever number you're left with. And so the answer is, the question is, how many guesses would it take for you to figure out which bug I'm thinking about? The answer is, the number is exactly how many times I can split 23,700 in half before I get one or less. And so let's do that. So that's the second, 925 divided by 2. If you have a calculator, that's log base 2 of 23,700. And you can use that. All right, so 2, 9, 1. Maybe I should.
Actually, there's this whole math before.
What is it? 2963.
Okay, after three questions, then divided by 2 is 1475. That's four questions. If I have an even number, I just ignore the remainder. You can also do it exactly, and that gives you, you can round it up afterward. It doesn't matter. Anyway, if you keep doing this, it's going to take, the answer I got is 14. So after 14, so you get 737, then you get 368, 184, 92, 46, 23, 11, 5, 2, and 1. And when you hit 1, you're done, because you have your bug. And so It needs 14 questions. To figure out the bug.
So wait, what did you do? It was 337, that's odd.
I just pretend that, like this guy, I just pretend it's 4074.
Because it's like 0.5, you just like not.
It's 0.5, I just ignore the 0.5.
Okay.
If you don't do that, you get 14 point something that's above 14.5, and you can just round it up to 15. Both answers are fine. The idea is that you can, how many times can you split in half this number before you get one or less? And that's your number. It could be 14. 14 is fine. 15 is fine. Both numbers are fine. It's between 14 and 15. Okay? Yes. You can do log. You can just write log base 2 of 23,700. That's 14 points. I actually have it here. And you can say, oh, it's a little bigger than 14.5. I'm just going to say 15. Doesn't matter. Just make sure, because the questions can be like, I'm going to ask 14.5 questions. You know, choose between 14 and 15. Okay? And it can be, you know, it can be bugs. It can be something else. But if you have to guess, if you have a whole number of whole bunch of something, and I need to guess your choice, I'll have to ask log base 2 of the number of, you know, items that I'm presented with, or you present. Okay? And the next one was 20. Okay. Well, this is going to be tricky. We have to all look at the code. Okay, so the first one is when thermostat is clicked, set temperature to whatever the sensor value is. And then a forever loop, it's saying if temperature is smaller than the setting, then activate heat and wait. And so what that is doing, it's basically reading the temperature and say, you know, your temperature is, you know, whatever the value is, 75. And if your temperature is too small, it's going to activate the heat. The problem is it's getting stuck in a forever loop, and it's never reading the temperature ever again. It's just saying forever, if temperature is smaller than the setting, activate the heat. And so say our starting temperature is 75, our ideal temperature is 80. The temperature is smaller than the setting, and so it's going to get stuck in that forever loop. And even if it's going to make the temperature, you know, 80, 85, 90, it's never reading it again. The temperature, the variable temperature, is always going to hold 75 because it's never, that variable doesn't get updated. And so what this is, the bug with this one is it leaves the heat always on or always off because it's only reading it one time. Only reading, so if, you know, temperature starts by being above 85, so 90, for example, it's going to say, oh, if the temperature is smaller than the setting, activate the heat. If not, don't activate the heat. But it's stuck in the forever loop. And so, you know, even if the winter comes, it's never going to read the temperature again. So the forever loop is really a forever, for the rest of the year, for the rest of your life, until you, you know, plug it out of the wall or something. All right. Does that make sense? Yes? Okay, great. All right, next one. When the thermostat is clicked, you read the temperature, and then it says repeat until temperature is smaller than the setting, you activate the heat, and then you read it again. And so it's, okay, so let's think about this one. It's repeating until the temperature is smaller than the setting. Yeah. Do you have a question? No? Okay. All right. So let's pretend that the temperature is 75 and our ideal temperature is 80. It's saying repeat until temperature is smaller than setting. Temperature is 75, setting is 80. It is smaller, so it's not going to go into the loop because your condition is met. Okay? So basically when the temperature is smaller than the setting, it's not doing anything. That's one thing. Okay, what happens if the starting temperature is larger than the setting? So let's say we start with 90, temperature is 90, and the setting is 80. It says repeat until temperature is smaller than setting. The temperature is not smaller than setting, it's bigger. Activate the heat, and then read the temperature again. And so the problem with this one is that it turns the heat when it's hot. The condition is, you know, if I repeat until the temperature is smaller than the setting, it should be repeat until the temperature is larger than the setting. Because you want it to activate the heat until the temperature is equal or larger than your setting that you have. Okay? Does that make sense? Yeah.
So it goes into the loop if the temperature is greater than the setting.
Yes. That's a repeat until. The repeat until loop works that way. Okay? And we talked a little bit about this in lecture 23, slides 23 and 24. One of them is the actual correct code for the thermostat. So if you want to print that out, bring it for to the exam, maybe you can compare the two codes and see, you know, at least see what the, you know, maybe figure out what the problem is.
So what was the final answer for this one?
The final is A. I can write it in the sample, final sample answers. Yeah. All right, and the next one was 15. Oh, okay.
Condition, and it's never going to be able to meet it.
And so it's not going to stop. But in this case, we have minus. So that's good. Okay? Any questions about this one? No? Okay. Let's take the next one. The next one says, set a question mark, repeat until n is larger than 20. And we pop, and then we change n by 5. Okay. I'm going to draw this line again. And we have 20. Everything that's larger than 20 will not go into the loop. These are all good numbers. Oh, so by the way, the other answer for the other one is all values. Because values that were smaller than 12 are good, values that are larger than 12 are good. For either each value of n, no matter what the value of n is, it will eventually stop. For some will stop right away, for some will go through the loop for a while and it will stop. Okay. So these are all good. And for what happens if n is smaller? Well, whatever n is smaller, it's going to go into the loop. Every time it goes through the loop, it makes n a little bigger. It adds 5 to it. And so it brings it a little closer to 20. And then, you know, it's going through the loop again. Maybe it'll jump over 20. Be larger than 20, reach the happy zone, stop. And so these numbers are good too. And so in this case, it's all values too. Okay. For the next one, it says bigger than 41. Change n by minus 3. Okay, so in this case, what is my initial, I know, what are the values for which it won't go into the loop? This whole area, right? For all the n's that are bigger than 41, it's not going into the loop, it stops right away. Those are good. What happens for if n is smaller than 41? Well, every time it's going to go into the loop, and every time it's going to the loop, it subtracts 3. It's going, taking it the other way. And, you know, then it goes into loop again, and it's taking it the other way. So it's taking it further and further away from 41. And so for values that are smaller or equal to 41, it's not going to stop. So the question is, for what values of question mark does each of these scripts halt? I'm going to say all numbers that are larger than 41. So this is not a green. If it's equal to 41, this condition is not met. It's going through the loop. It's making it 38. And then
35.
Wouldn't it be all numbers larger than 44? 44? Okay, so 42. Okay.
Oh, wait,
never mind. Okay. This is 41. Does it look like 42? Okay, next, last one is, this one is a little different than the other ones. There's an equal here. And it says change by 2. Okay, and so, so this one is, you need to hit exactly 6. That's a problem. If you don't hit 6, you're, so let's say 5. What happens if n is 5? It's not 6, it goes into the loop, it makes it 7. Then it's not 6, it makes it 8, it makes it 9, then it makes 11. It's never going to hit 6.
Yeah. Would it be all even values less than 6?
Yes. All even values less or equal than 6. 6 is a good number too. Okay, so we definitely need, okay, let's put 6 here. Because this, the, you know, being in the loop changes n this way, right? It adds 2 to it.
we know that starting here is going to take us further away. So values that are larger than 6 are definitely not going to work. Values that are smaller than 6, some of them might work, some of them will not work. We need an even number because we need to be able to reach exactly 6 by adding 2 to it. And so the answer is all even numbers, smaller or equal to 6. Okay, what time is it? Okay. I'm going to do 14, and then if you guys want to leave. You can leave anytime on. So this one looks a little bit like the one on the midterm. It says when bed is clicked, set kids to 2. So we have a variable that is called kids, and it starts by being 2. And it says repeat until kids is smaller than 1. You broadcast the verse, and you change kids by minus 1. And so the verse says, there were, then say kids, and then say on the bed. And so, okay, let's take this one at a time. First, we start with kids being 2. We repeat until kids is smaller than 1. It's not smaller than 1. So we go into the loop, we broadcast the verse, and the verse says, there were, and then it says kids. Kids is 2, and because it says the variable kids, it's going to say 2. On the bed, it's done, it goes back to the main part of the program where the bed is clicked, and then you say you repeat until kids is smaller than, after you broadcast the verse, you change kids by minus 1, and so you make it 1. Is it still smaller than, is it still bigger or equal to 1? It's still bigger or equal to 1. You go through the loop again, you broadcast the verse, and the verse says there were 1 on the bed. It goes back and makes kids 0. Repeat until kids is smaller than 1. It's smaller than 1, it stops. So the answer to this question, the question is what will the sprite say when clicked? And it will say there were 2 on the bed, there were 1 on the bed. And you can all click A and F for questions.